Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members and from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.
From Buffalo, Toronto Public Media, this is What's Next, an hour dedicated to amplifying the voices of marginalized and underrepresented communities across Western New York and Southern Ontario.
We cannot erase, we cannot reform, we cannot make things better if we're uncomfortable having tough conversations,
absolutely,
if we're uncomfortable talking about race.
What's Next carries forward our mission to engage in meaningful conversations about race, equity, and the shared concerns that deeply affect Buffalo's East Side and beyond.
Don't stop. Make those families part of your life. Their lives are part of yours. Don't stop.
Together, we dive into the real issues, striving for understanding, connection, and change.
In the suburban area, everywhere, we must work and teach our children.
Welcome to What's Next on WBFO, where we dive into the critical issues shaping our community, business landscape, and future. I'm Naila Ansari Cotillo, and today we're honored to have two distinguished guests from Impressia's Bank. I have President Mary Kate Loftus.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. And I have our Vice President here, Regional Relationship Manager, Lauren Skellinger.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
So this bank is making waves.
Yeah.
And the financial services and focusing on innovative banking solutions, community impact, and financial inclusion, which is so important, particularly because we are in Women's History Month. Yeah. So I'm excited for you all to be here today. And I plan on learning a lot because banking and financial things are totally over my head sometimes. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners feel the same.
Yes, you're not alone.
So I'm going to start with Mary Kate. Can you start a little bit about telling us the story of Impressia's banking system, how you all got here, and the inspiration for the founding of it?
Absolutely. It is a, first of all, it's an honor to be here. I'm so excited. Lauren and I are big fans, so we're thrilled to be on the show today. The story of the founding of the bank is so fascinating. So it was about, I'm going to give you the condensed version, but it's really interesting. About 2.5 years ago, there was a new CEO at the parent company of Impressia called CNB Bank. New CEO comes in. He goes on a listening tour. He meets all these phenomenal women leaders, and it's the head of commercial banking, the head of treasury management, all these functions of the bank. And he looked at our customer base and said, well, wait a second. Why does our customer base not reflect the fact that we have all these amazing women leaders? He asks the question. This group convenes, and they take a look, and they say, you know what? No banks are really doing a great job. A steering committee ends up forming. They report directly to the board. And the person that we report into, Angela Wilcoxon, she's based out of Cleveland. She's the head of commercial banking. She just said, you know, there's many options and ways we could go about this, but the best way is let's actually form a fully funded division that operates across all the states that we operate in. So although we're headquartered in Buffalo at the Electric Tower, we actually have teams that are in New York, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Virginia, and we have a full online presence, and that's now going on almost 2 years. So we're approaching our 2-year anniversary.
Oh my goodness, that's incredible. Can you talk a little bit about the mission of the bank? I mean, that story alone, to be able to, we're headquartered here, but you're all over.
Yes.
Is awesome.
So our purpose is the financial and professional development of women. We are a federally regulated bank, so all customers are welcome. So you do not have to be a woman to be a customer. We are here for everybody. And we have many, many customers who are men as well. But our purpose is, again, the financial and professional development of women. The way we do that, our mission is to redefine the banker-client relationship. And that's really where Lauren comes in.
Yeah. So we are really trying to deliver banking in a way that's impactful for women, because historically, the banking system has not been built to serve women, especially not women entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. So we've developed a product set and a way of delivering banking services that we think really uniquely services the needs of women who are busy, who need a single point of contact, and who need, you know, often a space to be vulnerable with their finances. Mm-hmm. Without judgment or intimidation. And that's really, I think, the difference that we're trying to deliver.
Yeah, we're going to go off of that because you totally took my next question. What makes you different? But that's such a unique approach. Can you talk a little bit about women specifically that are trying to get into the business. For folks that don't know, startup costs are really difficult. A lot of folks don't really understand that is a really male-dominated space. How are you all unique in the sense of, like, I can come to you and may not know anything and not feel intimidated? Because I know that's something that a lot of women kind of, you know, I wouldn't say necessarily it's a complaint, but there's a fear factor of that. I don't feel like I know everything going into a banking situation.
I think it's interesting. In our culture, when you talk about starting a business, a lot of us immediately think of sort of tech startups, mm-hmm. which is, you know, a really male-dominated space. But if you look at the rate of new business starts, women are starting businesses at a much higher rate than men are in this country. And it's just that they're starting smaller businesses, right? They're starting the Main Street businesses that are serving our communities, the restaurants, the salons, the, you know, the businesses that make communities communities. And we know that those women don't get a lot of support or a lot of, there's not venture capital dollars that are flowing to them. So what we're trying to do is provide the education, which there are a lot of community services, which I'm sure we'll talk about, that are available here in Buffalo and in all of our markets that help deliver education, help deliver loan guarantee programs to help women start those businesses. But really what we want to provide is that safe space to come and say, hey, I want to do this and I don't know where to start, or I don't know, you know, if I have enough financial wherewithal to do this. Is it a smart choice or is it too risky? And we want to be that sounding board and be able to offer sound guidance.
Which is really important because a lot of folks start businesses and then they don't realize what they're getting into till midway through. And then you're like, okay, I need a loan. I don't know how to do it. And then it becomes really stressful. So to be able to have those services initially where folks can kind of feel like they're getting a leg up as opposed to trying to catch up is really important.
That's a great point. The many customers that Lauren's been helping, they have actually been in business for 5 years, wow. for 8 years, for 10 years, and they got to the point they are, and then they say, oh my gosh, I've grown so much. Now I need different help. I need different advice. I need to be in different rooms with different people to be able to continue this growth, and that's where the value of Lauren comes in.
Yeah, and speaking of a different approach, innovation's really big in banking right now, and I know you all have a digital approach because you all are everywhere. Can you speak a little bit to that? Because, you know, I have a dad who still does the banking very much the traditional mm-hmm. way. So can you speak a little bit to the digital trends that Impressia Bank has?
Sure. So we do have, you know, for people who want to do business with us in person, in any of our markets, the New York, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Ohio, we have a branch network. People can come in and do business with us directly. And we really do want to provide that personal touch. So every one of our clients has a banker, an individual person they can reach out to. But we're also national. So we have clients all over the country right now. And for those clients, we had to build out a, you know, full suite of digital services. So if we have a client who doesn't want to go into a branch, they don't need to. If they're in California, they can deal with us entirely virtually. Really, from the start of, you know, opening an account to applying for a business loan to daily operations, making deposits, they can do 100% of that online digitally.
Wow, because that actually stops a lot of folks from doing. Yeah. I know I'm a component. I'm like, oh, I have to actually go into the bank. It's like,
Well, one of the things I think, and I was with my father on Saturday, and I was showing him, and he's a client. But you can text. So whether you can text Lauren, for example, directly, Jess, who's on a support member of our team, or you can text directly to the bank's customer service, real people write you back. It's not a bot.
Oh, wow.
And so, like, those are the kinds of things where, like, it doesn't require a heavy technology lift or these, like, really advanced digital capabilities to be able to do it. It's really thinking from a common sense perspective, what do real people need and what's the best way to be able to get there? I think that, you know, as we talk a lot about, like, banking humanly, and all that means is it's really looking at, like, what do people need and then figuring out the best way to be able to give it to them.
Because the bots kind of, I wouldn't say weird people out, but in some instances, right. folks don't, especially when it comes to their money.
There's a lack of trust.
There is a lack of trust when it comes to, you know, this idea of, like, the digital world and going into digital banking, people having access to your accounts and your data. But to be able to speak to someone directly, even if they're, you know, even if it's virtual, you still know that you have that human touch, which is so important.
Well, another thing, too, when you think about making sure, though, if people want digital, like we're able to, and it's in Impressia and Bank on Buffalo here locally, you can apply for a home equity, a mortgage, get pre-qualified. You can apply for a business loan. Everything can be done online, but it's your choice. So if you don't want to do that and you want to talk to somebody, you're welcome to come do that.
Exactly. And there are people who do sort of a hybrid of both, right? They want the ability to, you know, do everything online. And then when something looks weird online or they just aren't at their computer, they want to be able to call. And I have lots of clients who only reach out to me when there's, you know, something amiss or they're traveling. And that's precisely why we're here. That's how we're set up to do business.
Yeah. So I know you all are a full service commercial bank. Can you explain, I know we just talked about that, but can you explain to our listeners what that means exactly? Because when, you know, people see new banks, because most times people have like kind of known about the same banks their entire life. Can you explain a little bit more about what full service means?
Yeah, so we have, my background is in commercial banking and commercial lending. So we have a full suite of commercial banking services. So for clients who are looking for financing to purchase a building, to grow their manufacturing, to finance their working capital, we have a full suite of products that can help them. And I think what's unique for Impressia is, although we're coming up on our 2-year anniversary, we're a division of a larger organization, C&B Bank. So we're in the fortunate position of being able to lend right away to our customers with a relatively high cap of loans that we can originate, even though we're still, you know, in that rapid growth phase of our deposit gathering.
It's so interesting because a little bit of about banking that most people kind of like shy away from is this idea of financial literacy and being educated. So yes, the whole full service component, yes, we need that. We understand that. But the financial literacy part is something that folks are kind of like, why do I need to know anything about that? And I know you all have some initiatives when they say, you know, I've figured out how to live off of like $20 and feed 5 kids. Mm-hmm. Right. So,
yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about the education services that you're providing?
Absolutely. And I'm glad you asked that, because I think we find that for a lot of women, even like whether it's in their household or in their businesses, some of that financial management is outsourced to another party, right? Whether it's a spouse or an accountant, you know, they have people that take care of that so they can focus on what they're excellent at. But a base level of financial literacy is really important to empower women to make decisions that will benefit them in the near term and the long term. Whether it's in your household, understanding kind of the budgeting and the tools that are available to you and sort of how you manage your credit score. We provide services to help with just like quick, you know, 2 to 5 minute videos with little quizzes at the end. Any of our customers have access to do that. I would encourage any of our listeners to check out our website, impressiabank.bank, and find, you know, our resources tab. And there's a whole bunch of just like quick, easy, free tools that we just want out in the community so they know how to, you know, manage those things. And it can really save a lot of time and money in the future by having a couple of basics down. And then when you look at from the business side, you know, there are women out there who've been running their businesses successfully for many years, but they haven't had to pay close attention to the way they manage their balance sheet, or, you know, they see their profit and loss statement at the end of the year and it shows that there is, you know, a lot of revenue generated, but not necessarily seeing that in their own personal net worth at the end of the year. And we have a lot of tools, as well as sort of we have our masterclass, Women in Business Academy masterclass, where a cohort of our clients are able to go through and get a real like crash course in how you manage that, how you get that control back and make good decisions for your business and for your own personal net worth.
Yeah. And, you know, that's one thing of being able to manage, but it's also, it's another thing to secure those funds. And in underrepresented communities, particularly a lot of minority owned businesses, it's been difficult to secure a lot of funding, particularly in this region. Can you talk a little bit about how Impressia may be a little different, and why someone, particularly if there's a minority owner or underrepresented business, why they should bank with you all?
Yeah, I mean, I know for us, we have this specific mission to try and meet the women's needs in the community. Mm-hmm. And that's really led us to develop a more hands-on and more thoughtful approach when companies and individuals are trying to secure loans, secure funding. Sometimes that means, you know, we can lend directly. Other times that means partnering with another organization. We are fortunate in New York State to have quite a few partner organizations that we can rely on for loan guarantees, for matching funds. And we actually have, we have a colleague who sits in our Cleveland office who, she can help our clients sift through, you know, what are like grant applications that are worth your time to apply to? What are grant applications that really, for the amount of time and the type of business that you have, are, it's not going to be worth the effort. So I think it's not only the loans that we're able to originate, it's also sort of that navigating through the various loan programs at the state, federal, and local levels, as well as the potential for grant opportunities.
And I think Lauren said that beautifully. The where Martha's work comes to life is all of our customers get access to a text newsfeed. I don't know of any other banks that are doing this. When you talk about innovation and financial services, it's really exciting. Every customer gets a regular recurring text alert. Now, sometimes we'll say we're only going to send these to Buffalo. Sometimes they go to Cleveland. But what they do is they, when Martha does her work, she goes and says, oh, there's an opportunity coming, whether it's educational, networking, or grant money. Our customers get an alert that say, this has been opened up. You may qualify for this. Take a look. And we've had so many customers that have come back to us and said, thank you so much. If you hadn't sent me that text alert, I totally would have missed the opportunity. It does not mean you're going to be able to get everything. It does not mean that automatically, to Lauren's point, we're more of a platform to connect you. But the fact that there's a bank that's willing to be that connection, I think is it's been really valuable to a lot of people.
Because I think a lot of folks, they don't understand the access is just as important as sometimes the securing of the funds. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't even know that a grant, let's say, exists, then you totally missed out on it and didn't even try.
That's right.
Not because you didn't want to, but just because you didn't even know it existed.
That's right. That's right. And as we've gone through this like past 2 years, what we've learned is there are so many resources that are out there that if only people knew that it was out there, they'd be able to leverage it. And the more we learn, the more that we're able to, you know, be able to connect those dots for people.
And so the idea of a bank having impact sometimes seems like that is counterintuitive to what most people think. But you all are really coming in strong. You're 2 years, not necessarily 2 years old, but kind of 2 years old in our world here. What are you seeing in terms of impact in the community and people like receiving that you all are giving them access in a way that they're not historically used to?
Yeah. Go ahead, Lauren.
I was going to say, I mean, I think one of the things that I've noticed, even in the, you know, the time that we've been here in Buffalo, is we're able to build this network that, I mean, albeit some of it did exist, right? We have strong women's interest networks here in Buffalo, which has been wonderful. And we've been able to build on that and hopefully add some value. It's really a lot about, as Mary Kate said, making connections. So we now have, you know, accountants and attorneys, bookkeepers, marketing agencies that are in our client base that we can connect with a new business and say, hey, this is part of the, you know, Impressia family. This is another person that, you know, we know that they will share transparent pricing. Then the new business owner is able to share, you know, what their goals are. And, in, you know, not 100% of the time is there a new, you know, business relationship formed, but it's a new connection that then we've really seen that become more strongly interwoven. And we've had a couple of really wonderful events to celebrate our customers and to welcome in this network where, you know, you just see in the conversations that happen and in the energy in the room, it's really been fulfilling to, I think, to our clients, to our prospects. And it's been able to, I think, create some momentum. We've had a couple of really strong customer wins here locally, which has been wonderful to see somebody who's gone from like a dream or an idea or, you know, a business that's operating but not on a growth trajectory to really like hit that milestone and see the growth not just for them and their family, but for the whole community.
In terms of networking, women do not usually like to talk about money. And it's one of those things that's very taboo, particularly when it comes to business. Because like you all said, it's like, oh, my husband's going to take care of her, or my dad or brother, or, you know, whoever that's male typically is in charge of the money. How do you all go about kind of coaching some of your clients to say, okay, you need to get this deal done. You have to, you know, as it being forward, you know, what are some tips that you have for business owners in terms of in those connections and networking to ask for what you want?
Yeah. I mean, I think I'd love to share, we've had a couple of events that are specifically around this, about getting women comfortable and understanding the importance of having these conversations, candid conversations about finances. We had a lovely event last summer, you know, that really, I think, drove home the importance of, you know, what can happen if you don't plan for the future, if you cede that decision making to another person. And we've also been having, you know, much smaller gatherings. So that was a large gathering where the goal was just to get the message across of this is important. And then we followed up on that by having smaller group meetings to say, we're inviting in, you know, a group of our clients and saying, we're going to have a candid conversation about money. We have a couple of conversation starters and we share, you know, whether it's for their business or for them personally, what are the financial goals? And let's talk about, is that, you know, is that scary to you to say that that's your goal? And why is that scary? I think, and even across the gender divide, money is an uncomfortable conversation for people. It's a taboo topic. And so encouraging people to be vulnerable about it is the key of it. Because what gets missed is that if you don't have those conversations and candidly say, like, I'm raising funds right now, then you miss that opportunity entirely. And there, that's, you know, I think something that women disproportionately are missing out on.
And I think to build on that, women learn often, share and learn through stories. So that's why it's so important what Lauren was saying, to convene conversations, to bring people together at the event that Lauren was referencing last summer. So it's a woman that leads a large nonprofit in Western New York. And she shared her story about her husband's sudden passing. What connected with people was they said, oh my gosh, because you're working so hard, you're taking care of others. You don't take the time, though, to step back and make sure you understand where your money is. You understand how to log into online banking. You know where everything was set up. And then they could all feel for themselves, that could happen to me. Today, I'm in that same boat. I wouldn't, you know, I could be at risk of losing my house, my car, et cetera, if my loved one passed away. But I think sharing stories is like almost the gateway to allow people to more step into that space where they feel comfortable. The most important thing, though, is taking action. Like, if we could leave anyone with a thought today, it is time is the most important thing. Don't lose a day, don't lose a minute, and take action to be able to make sure you're set.
It's interesting because we're going to deep dive a little bit later into what happens. So that's when people kind of get stuck in these in predicaments, particularly what's happening in the world. But why is it important to bank? And I know, to some listeners, this may sound kind of like an odd question because, you know, the assumption is everyone banks. But in certain communities, people actually do not bank at all and don't have banks. You know, I work with a lot with college students, and it may be the first time they've, you know, are opening an account, or they may not feel like they need to have an account. What's the importance of having a bank and having a bank that you trust and feel comfortable with?
So I think for many people, you know, the younger generation does their banking, you know, looking for the best high yield savings rate. And then they have an online, like, couple of platforms, a Cash App or a Venmo, and they get by that way. And that's for on the younger generation. There are also, as you mentioned, like, we are very aware that there are segments of the population that either can't get a bank account or choose not to deal with a bank for a variety of reasons.
Cash under the, exactly. the mattress, right?
Right. And I think the real reason why you need a bank is not for when everything is going smoothly. It's for when there's a problem, right? When you do need financial support, when you're looking to buy a home, when you're looking to start a business, having that banking relationship is crucial to being able to, you know, support your credit score, to, you know, secure those funds. People sometimes don't realize that financial institutions, data is reported up federally. So there are services that are aggregating that data. Even if there's somebody who is only doing their banking, you know, with a high yield savings account, and they use the buy now, pay later apps for, you know, Uber Eats, that gets reported, right? That data is aggregated. And so those behaviors of online, you know, purchasing, they're available. And if you are not taking control and taking an active interest in how your financial data is managed and working with a reputable banking institution, you're potentially at risk of, you know, having a credit score that's impacted negatively and without even realizing it.
And sometimes I know, especially for younger generations that you mentioned, it's really difficult because they're getting these extremely high rates that they can't really pay back. Mm-hmm. And so they're going in like, oh, I can get something very quickly. Mm-hmm. And they're not really knowing what they're signing up for. And they're like, oh, yeah, I can just do this. I just found this app online. And then they're trying to pay back all these things. And to your point about their credit score, they can't bring their credit score up.
And that's why the financial literacy is so important. Like, start now before you get yourself into any sort of situation so that you can plan ahead for the future.
Right.
Well,
it's a big topic.
Yes, it's a huge, and we're going to keep diving into it when we come back, because I think it's more important than ever, particularly where we are right now as a country, to be financially literate and to be able to have banking systems that can help us in larger institutions that can do that. When we come back, we are going to tap into the community and Impressia Bank, and we will have a ball talking about money. Stay tuned. We'll be back with what's next.
Our mission at Buffalo Toronto Public Media is to serve our local community. And on WBFO, we do that by keeping you informed. We bring you important perspectives from your neighbors on what's next.
It's cultural heritage tourism. People go and they travel different places to learn about history and lived experiences that only took place in that area. Oftentimes, you may have people in certain positions that don't understand the value of cultural heritage tourism.
And we investigate issues in our community, such as racial disparities and traffic stops.
The data breakdown by council district shows that Black people are stopped disproportionately to their population in all 9 districts. Lovejoy District leads the pack in terms of those disproportionate stops. Just 37% of the district's population is Black, yet Black motorists account for almost 70% of stop receipts issued there. This is Public Media.
PBS Learning Media provides free learning resources like our series, Compact History. Follow Corey, a time-traveling middle school history teacher, as he journeys beyond your textbook. Learn how history surrounds us and includes you, and find activities and tools to expand your knowledge. Check out the Compact History Collection on pbslearningmedia.org.
You're listening to What's Next? Our place to discuss the important issues of our communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the WBFO app, and we will work to get your questions or comments on the air. Do you have a story or concern that we should be addressing? Email whatsnext@wbfo.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that are needed. This is WBFO, your NPR station.
Welcome back to What's Next. I'm Naila Ansari-Cotillo, and I've had the honor of just chatting away with some pretty awesome people. I have the president of Impressia Bank, Mary Kate Loftus, and I have the vice president of regional relationship management. I got that. Got that right? Lauren Skellinger. And we've really been diving into banking, Impressia's mission, a women-ran bank, which is incredible and amazing. And we left off, you know, talking about the importance of banking and having a bank. And right now we have so many federal layoffs. We have a lot of folks losing their job at rapid pace, and a lot of folks really don't know what to do. So a bank like Impressia, what ways can we help some of these folks that are in these difficult situations that we just started leaning on before we went to break?
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. There's a lot of uncertainty right now. Even the smartest banker can't predict what's going to happen with rates and, unemployment rate. And that's scary for a lot of people. So I think, as we were talking about before the break, having a trusted financial advisor, which for many people, it should be your banker, right? You should have a person, the person and the institution that's holding your money, you should have a person that you can reach out to there, who you trust to give you sound information. And that's really, I think, what Impressia is trying to do. Rather than offer just a product set, we want to be able to have that conversation and allow people to come in and say candidly, like, okay, I find myself in this position. I've lost my, job at the VA, and I have this debt that's outstanding. How do I get out of this? And we want to be that resource who can say, these are the options that we have available, right? Because what we know happens is that in the absence of that, candid conversation and evaluation, sometimes the answer is not pretty, right? Like sometimes the solution is a difficult one. But without that, you end up in a much worse position, right? People tend to rely on, there are, you know, for better or worse, a lot of credit providers, non-bank lenders who are out there in the market who are offering, you know, buy now, pay later options and, you know, quick and easy, very high interest loans. So it's better to have that candid conversation with somebody that you trust locally than to have to take out sort of a national high interest loan and find out 6 months down the line that you're in a worse position than you were.
And I think those are great points. And I think that proactively, because people do feel so uncertain, as Lauren said, it's scary. Like there, it's a lot of uncertainty right now happening. What people can do is think about what they can control. They can control if they have a budget. Mm-hmm. And maybe to some people, they say, a budget? I don't even know how to set up a budget. We mentioned financial literacy tools. Like, it's very easy, actually, to establish, even if you start just with the basics. The next thing would be look at your savings and really look at what are your needs versus your wants. Be proactive about setting money aside. And as you, as Lauren was saying, if you have a relationship with a banker, you can say, well, I've set aside $10,000, $20,000 or more. How do I get the most out of that and lock it down so I can get a great return? But I think not being afraid, the most important thing is if you're afraid to kind of like take an honest look at where you're at, that's where you really expose yourself to danger. So you're better off taking a moment, evaluating your current position, and then saying, what is my plan going forward in the event something does happen?
And in Prestia Bank, especially because I'm sitting here with these two lovely women, there's not an embarrassment there. And I think that's a huge thing that folks really feel embarrassed about their, you know, their funds and where they are financially because they feel like they made poor decisions. And so they're going to be judged on that. And with Prestia Bank, just sitting with you two, I feel so comfortable to be like, okay, look, I really messed up here. How can I, you know, how can I fix this? Because a lot of times folks think they need to spend a lot of money on financial advisors, if they even know what that is. And so can you speak a little bit to, yes, people need financial advisors if they want to and if they can afford it, but the bank is also there to help you, to guide you in a way that doesn't cost you an arm and a leg.
Right. I mean, you made two excellent points there. One is that we often feel like there's a moral judgment associated with monetary decisions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, are there outliers where people just make silly choices with money? Sure. But I think in many cases, there's no room for moral judgment, right? People are making ends meet. People are trying to do the things that need to be done to you know, live their life. And so we really do try and, you know, take any moral judgment out of it and make it a, you know, a conversation about, you know, brass tacks, like what is practical right now. The other point that you raised is that, you know, for people who are looking for financial advice, you know, your bank is holding your money and a bank is deriving a benefit from holding that money, right? They're, you know, you shouldn't have to pay if your needs are simple, right? There's obviously a space in our, you know, financial services industry to have, you know, financial advisors who are managing, you know, complex portfolios. And they're, you know, they deserve to be compensated for that. But for simple advice, you know, Mary-Kate really went over the basics of it, right? You know, you need to establish an emergency fund. You need to get a handle on what your budget is and have some tough conversations about needs and wants. And most any banker can have that conversation with you. And you shouldn't feel afraid to ask for the time and the space to have that conversation with your bank.
Because most people don't know that. They're just kind of riding on, like, I have retirement. Like, they, you know, they're kind of living the day, especially if it's a struggle. You know, they don't feel like there may be a need to really have that budget. And I think that speaks to your ethics as a bank. And I do want to speak to you all a little bit more about that because you all are really committed to ethical and responsible banking. So can you talk a little bit about that mission and what that means for folks that bank with Prestia?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'll start that off. The when you think about the ethics of banking, when a customer goes to Lauren, Lauren will give them an honest, straight answer. And it may not always be what somebody wants to hear, but she'll say, this is your path to get to where you want to be able to go. And I think that's ultimately the most important. And then the next thing would also be treating people with respect. And a lot of times, letting people know you are welcome, we're here to have that conversation in a respectful way is really, it's very important to how we do business.
Yeah. And I mean, I think you alluded earlier in the program to some of the historical you know, inadequacies that we've had and inequities we've had in our financial, you know, the services we've provided to this community. And so we're really doing our best to try and meet the needs of the full community in Buffalo and also in all our markets. Every bank has to, you know, adhere to, you know, federal regulations to make sure that we're, you know, doing the fair thing across all communities. But Impressia really holds that very close to our mission. We want to make sure that we aren't overlooking our blind spots, and we want to be engaged in the full community. So we've partnered with some, you know, nonprofit organizations, and we've also deliberately tried to reach out to people who are really connected in communities where Mary Kate and I are not, to make sure that we're having the conversations and listening to what the needs are of the whole community.
Which is so important. And, you know, I'm going to kind of pick on Mary Kate a little bit because you are a president, and then I'm going to come to Lauren because you're a vice president in banking. How are you managing this world? Because, you know, there's a ton going on outside of, you know, just your, you know, I'm sure you just have clients after clients after clients coming in with all kinds of issues. But you all are like taking a really prominent role as women in a super male dominated space that was already difficult, but is even more difficult now. How have you managed to be a president in this world? And how have you managed to be a vice president? We'll take Mary Kate first.
Thank you for that question. And I will say I'm very fortunate. I've been banking my whole life for 25 years. And I've come from many women around me who were strong women that said, let me show you how to do it. I will teach you. I will open the doors for you to be able to help you get there. Currently at Impressia, I'm very fortunate that we have a steering committee of women leaders who surround us and say we are here together. And I'll tell you, when a bunch of women get in a room, make up their mind to do something, it's very difficult to. It's done. Exactly. Exactly. And so that has been wonderful. And I think there's also something, and I think about Women's History Month, it is so true. Male allyship is so important. So I think of the leaders today. You know, the person who asked the question was our CEO, Mike Peduzzi, who said, "Why, you know, are we serving women well enough?" When you think about the, you know, environment today, I think all people agree banks are so critical to the economic health of every community that we're in. And what Impressia does, whether it's both with men and with women, is we open those doors, we educate people, we get people to the right area of expertise to be able to achieve their financial goals. So a strong bank is good for Buffalo, it's good for New York State, it's good for all the other states we operate in. And as a woman, I think, you know, my role is to continue to learn and evolve. I'm a, you know, married mom of two little ones, although I guess high school and middle school are really little
anymore. Still little.
They're still little, right. But it really is just continue to grow, evolve, learn, and we have big goals of what we want to achieve here, and I think that that we're on our way to doing so.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a lot of what Mary Kate said. You know, I've really benefited from strong leaders, male and female, who supported my development, and I think we're lucky in this community to have a lot of strong female leaders in all of the financial institutions locally. But I think it's been really rewarding and reinforcing to see the way Impressia and CNB has, you know, made it a mission to empower a whole division to be led by women and formed, you know, with that goal in mind. And I think that can be achieved in all kinds of spaces, right? There are plenty of other male-dominated spaces where having something that's beyond just like a 1 month program, it's not only in the, you know, to the benefit of the community, it's also to the benefit of the institution, right? If you're not serving half the population well, then you're missing out on a business opportunity. So it's not necessarily that, you know, it's not that women are getting a leg up because of their gender. It's that, you know, there is a support for all, and the best qualified clients, the best qualified employees are given equal opportunity to those chances.
That was well said.
Yes, it was. And we have brilliant women that sometimes people totally bypass because they're like, well, you have kids, so you can't do this. And you know, you're married, so you can't do this. So you have all these other responsibilities, as, you know, as if women haven't been doing that
You know what's so interesting is so many when we begin to talk about the bank, so many people say, "Well, why are you doing this?" And then we look at the numbers, we look at the facts behind it, and then so many people say, "Oh, well, I get it. Okay, now I want to be a part of it." And that's where I said we have so many men that are customers as well as women for that very reason. They say, "Oh, well, that's great banking. That's a great banker. I want to be able to benefit too." And overall, it means, you know, everybody gets to move forward together. Right.
And I think it's important to talk a little bit about the economy and how banks actually help the economy, because so often, you know, banks kind of get a bad, you know, rightfully so in some cases, they kind of get a bad rap for just like, oh, we're just going to take people's money. But they don't actually understand how it circulates and that, you know, we have to give money and people have to take money. And it's a barter situation that helps everyone. So can you talk a little bit about the importance of having a bank in the place specifically like Buffalo, where we're trying to grow the economy?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think conceptually people understand the role of a bank in a community, right? You're taking in deposits from people who have excess funds, and then you're lending out funds to people who need them to start businesses, to buy homes. You know, I think for most people, it's the savings and loan that people remember from It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes.
And
yeah,
so, you know, and that is the role of a bank at its core. I think as a society, our banks have gotten increasingly complex. And so banks are often doing many more roles than that. And so we've started to forget what the base mission of the bank is. And we see more of, okay, there's chasing sort of high revenue opportunities and not paying close attention to the clients that are, in fact, the backbone of the bank. And I think we're lucky here in this community to have a lot of institutions that are still focused on the community. And that's really what I think Impressia and CNB is trying to do, is stay close to that foundation of banking, of we're here to gather those deposits. So that, you know, and that's the value proposition we're out there saying, is if you're a woman or a man who wants to see funds go to support women who want to start businesses here, open an account with us, have a deposit with us, and then we can take that, you know, we'll give you a great rate on your savings, and then we can redeploy those funds and give it to somebody who wants to start their own business.
Right, which is what we'll talk a little bit about when we come back, into the importance of banks in the community and programming initiatives and sponsorships that banks also have, particularly Impressia. So this is an important conversation. I've never been so excited about money in my life. Normally I'm like, what am I spending this on? but we're going to take a short break. And when we return, we'll talk about the future of banking and we'll talk technologies and what's next for Impressia Bank.
You're listening to one of the most distinctive signature sounds in all of recorded music. And you're on the Soundbeat. That telltale whoop belongs to Sonny Terry, one of the most influential harmonica players of all time. Blind, but not from birth, Terry lost his sight one eye at a time, first in early childhood, and the second in his late teens. He recorded Whoopin' the Blues with Brownie McGee in 1947 for Capitol Records. The Terry McGee partnership was one of the most prolific, and is one of the most revered in blues history. Want to see them in action? Go to our Facebook page or our home on the web, soundbeat.org.
Mama, mama, mama.
Soundbeat is produced at the Belfer Audio Archive, Syracuse University Libraries. I'm Brett Barry.
Celebrate the 50th anniversary season of Austin City Limits. Don't miss remarkable performances from Gary Clark Jr., Black Pumas, Brittany Howard, and more. Watch every Monday at 10 p.m. on WNED PBS.
Local voices, local stories. That's what WBFO brings to Western New York. Help keep it going. Sign up for updates about threats to federal funding at protectmypublicmedia.org. Ensure public media continues to bring essential stories to our community.
You're listening to What's Next, our place to discuss the important issues of our communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the WBFO app, and we will work to get your questions or comments on the air. Do you have a story or concern that we should be addressing? Email whatsnext@wbfo.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that are needed. This is WBFO, your NPR station.
Welcome back to What's Next. We've been having a ball talking everything in Prestia Bank. And I want you all to share all the good new events that you all have, initiatives, programs. You can all just have at it, because I know you all have a lot going on, and I'm excited.
Well, I'm going to interview Lauren then very quickly if
yes,
we can.
Yes.
Lauren, so we opened up our headquarters in the Electric Tower. Can you tell people what we've got there and what's happening?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have our national headquarters across our four states in Buffalo, in the Electric Tower downtown. Mm-hmm. We're on the 8th floor. We have this beautiful space. Our team and the local designers here did an excellent job. And we really wanted to create a welcoming space for us to have events for our clients, for our prospects to come in and meet other women in the community and have that safe space to talk about money. So we really are welcoming visitors. We do have recurring events happening monthly. Invitations are sent out to our customers and our prospects. If you're interested, please reach out to us, and we'll see if we can find a time to create an event or a space that works for you. The goal is really to make it a safe space, but also to make it a service that our clients can leverage. So if you're a small business who needs a boardroom, right? Maybe you work out of your house, but you're entertaining investors and you want to have a more professional setting for your meeting. We want to make that available to our clients where we can, and help, leverage the space so that it's available for the community.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah. And my favorite part, though, is the in the conference room that Lauren was mentioning, in our boardroom, we have a shelf full of our customers who have written books, our customers who are authors, and they're from Columbus, Ohio, and Cleveland, and all over. I think it's really important to not just be there as a place to gather, but it's also to make those connections and let people share stories. And I think that that's a really big part of it.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely haven't heard of a bank that lets you
yes. have events
to come. With Impressia Bank and everything that I'm learning today, it's, you have the digital banking, but you also have in-person banking, and you have this community investment. How are you all able to just put this all together in one place? Because typically, a bank is kind of known for one thing, and then it kind of trickles down like, oh, yeah, we have to do community initiatives.
I mean, I'll jump in on that one. I think we are so fortunate because we are a part of a larger organization, CNB Bank, and that really has been the key to success. We did not have to go source capital. We did not have to build everything from the ground mm-hmm. up. And what this means is, Lauren was mentioning, Lauren's able to do loans, for example, of up to $25 million. We are not truly a startup in that sense. Like, we're part of a bank that was founded in 1865. So that has allowed us to be able to, I think, be able to more quickly be able to bring the full bank to our customers. And I'm really proud about that. I think it gives us a nice head start to be able to help people.
Yeah. And I mean, you mentioned the investment in the community as well. Because we have this mission, right? We have our client base really is a network of like-minded individuals. These are people who want to see the uplift of women, the professional and financial development of women. So that has lent itself naturally to being able to, have events that meet the needs of our community, and it's mutually beneficial. And then additionally, it's led to partnerships with organizations within the community. At our ribbon cutting, we were able to give donation checks to the Black Women's Wellness Village and to the Western New York Women's mm-hmm. Foundation. There's just so many strong institutions here that share our vision and mission, that there's so much alignment. It's made it natural to do those partnerships.
Both amazing organizations, by the way.
Oh, I love yes. Yes, we they are. We're really happy about that. And I think listening to what is happening locally, like one of the things that now we're able to do to help people, Lauren mentioned home ownership. Mm-hmm. So here in Western New York, and this is through Impressia Bank and Bank on Buffalo, we have a new program called Open Your Door. And what that means is, it allows people who are looking to buy homes in minority areas of the city and Western New York to be able to get $10,000 toward either their home purchase or home improvements. So this is a program. It's on our website, but people can take a look both at Impressia and Bank on Buffalo. But that's just one example that we believe in, come on in and be able to say, what are your dreams? And we'll figure out how to get you there faster.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think another thing that's important, so many things that are important throughout this whole interview, but the space that you all have for businesses, especially startup businesses, because you're right, Buffalo is a startup town, but it is more engaged on the tech and it is very male. And so for you all to be able to establish, even have a place for folks to go is pretty incredible, mm-hmm. Particularly for women, because, you know, while Buffalo might be known for certain things, it does heavily, like, way one way.
I do think it's changing though, hopefully. Like, yes.
We both wanted to jump in because we're thinking of women who are in this space who are incredible. And I think there are, you know, women who are engaged. And I think what we hope to be is that connector, as we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. So we're both jumping out of our skin to say, oh, we know women in the tech space that are doing this. And we want to make sure that women who are doing that work, they can come to us and we can say, hey, well, let us introduce you to this, you know, fund. Let us introduce you to this individual and see if we can't make a match there. Because there are a lot of women in Buffalo and in all our communities who are really doing this work. And we want to be the bank for all of those companies, right? We want to be the bank for the Main Street companies and the Wall Street companies.
For sure. How do we lift not just you all up, but how do we also lift up women businesses that are here? Because I do think it's important. I mean, we're on a platform now for that, but how do we get more folks to support you all and support women businesses, particularly the clients that you have?
Yeah, I mean, for us, if you feel pulled by this mission, you know, we'd encourage you, open an account. We have really great rates right now. You know, we talked about programs come and go, right? This Open Your Door program is excellent. And interest rates that we have today are very good. Those things come and go. But I think you'll find if you open the account with us, it's the experience that will make the difference. And meanwhile, those funds get deployed to help this mission, right? That's really how you can best lift us up and support the women businesses in this community. And then I would also just put a quick shout out to both on our website, we spotlight our customers. So if you're looking for a women-owned business, you can peek there. But also I would another shout out to Western New York Women's Foundation. They on their website have a great directory for women-owned businesses. So if you're looking for a florist or a caterer and you want it to be a women-owned business, they have a great repository of that information.
And, oh, and I'll also share, like, even beyond Buffalo, we have a wonderful client that's in Erie, Pennsylvania. It's called Erie's Black Wall Street. Mm-hmm. And Erie's Black Wall Street was born out of a study when it talked about minority ownership in Erie, Pennsylvania, home ownership. And there was a person named Kyra Taylor who said, this is crazy. Like, we have to come together, support each other's businesses. It has really taken off. And now they're opening a new location that's going to be on Parade Street in Erie, down the street from the new Erie Bank, which is another one of our family of banks, open a new branch in Parade Street. And I think it's all about, like, connecting the dots, being intentional, as Lauren said, know where you're spending your money. And if you say, I am called to this, I am pulled towards this, then go, you know, take action, take the next step and make it a reality instead of a thought.
Yes. I mean, oh gosh, I like don't even want this interview to end because you you all are teaching me so much, and I know you're also teaching our community and our listeners for sure. You know, as we get ready to close out here, just one piece of advice that you all can give to women. I know it's Women's History Month, but we have Women's History Month every month, and I know two powerhouse women. What advice can you give to us?
I would say don't be afraid to be vulnerable about your finances, both the situation that you might be in today and your goals. You know, be vulnerable and be bold about what those objectives are. And then be vocal about, you know, what you're hoping to achieve and find somebody that you can share that with. Whether that's, you know, hopefully it is your banker, but if it's not, find a trusted friend who can help you, you know, navigate through that. Because many of these, the dreams don't come true unless you share them, and the problems don't get better unless you talk about them.
So true.
Oh, that was a good one, Lauren. I don't know. That's a hard one to beat. That was great. My advice is really for women to just, I'd say, and I was given this advice by one of our advisory board members, Melissa Sokoldalski. She's from Rochester, and she owns and runs a large commercial construction company. And we were talking, and you know what she said to me? She said, Mary Kate, take a breath and just sit and look and say, what's the impact? What's happening? And I think it was such a good like moment for me because I thought all of us, like you just look in this room that we're in, women are going, going, going. And you don't just sometimes pause and say, oh my gosh, like what's been accomplished? What did I learn and how will I take it forward? So my advice is recognize where you're at, celebrate it for a moment, and then put it into action, as Lauren said.
Oh, this is wonderful. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
And just one last time, make sure you all give the address of the bank here and also the website where folks can get resources.
Yeah. So we're on the 8th floor of the Electric Tower downtown. And also the easiest and fastest place to reach us is at our website, impressiabank.bank.
Impressiabank.bank.
And follow us on social, too.
Yes, follow
us. All the socials.
All the socials. And also they have a real cute place that we keep there for their clients. So make those meetings and negotiations happen that you all kind of coached us through today. I'm so thankful to you both, Lauren and Mary Kate, for being here today. Make sure you all go bank with Impressia. Make sure you all go check them out. And also for folks in the community that are looking to really find another partnership with folks, reach out to Impressia. That is important for us, particularly as women and you all in this industry here. This is our edition of What's Next. I'm so thankful for you both. I'm Naila Ansari Cotillo, and thank you all for listening. And until next time.
Thank you.
Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members and from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.